Welcome, Potters, to episode 122 of CosPod, the podcast for all things cosplay. We are back from Infinicon.
Yay!
Enthusiastic applause, yay.
I'm still kind of mentally recovering from the con, even though we were only there for a day, just because of all the prep it takes before you actually get to the con that you don't see. And unless you've worked for a con, it's not really something that you can understand. Even volunteering doesn't take as much work as more or less staffing for the con and running events for them.
It's exhausting. So,
yeah. It's exhausting when you have to do it on top of a day job.
Yeah.
Which is very intensive.
It'd be one thing if, like, this was our one solitary focus and then this is all that we did, then, you know, that'd be fine. But because we have life.
We're adults.
It's a lot to consider.
We have to make money so we can make more cosplay.
Exactly. Money to cosplay to fun. Back to money. Circle life.
No, it's the circle of money. We need one of those recycle type shirts that they have with the Phoenix, the different stages of the Phoenix. We need that for cosplay.
Can we make that one into a tote bag?
Yeah, we actually probably could. That way we can get an affiliate code so that people can help out the podcast by buying our lovely designed Cafe Press tote bag.
I can make that happen. It's a thing.
We could talk after the episode's over. These are business things.
It's a business decision that we're making during the podcast.
After the podcast. So, cosplay updates. As you've probably seen my hands moving, I'm working on stuff. Yay!
Stuff and things! What are you working on?
I'm using this lovely paisley fabric that you gave me.
Yoo-hoo!
Because I'm patterning out Umi's jacket, and one of the unfortunate things I found out is that I bought most of these patterns basically like a couple years right after I got out of college. Back when I was a 14. I'm no longer a 14. In fact, I am out of that envelope size range. So I either had the choice of going to buy another pattern, or I can just work with the one I have. The one I have, I added sufficient allowance all the way around to make it my current size. So now I'm hand basting it all together to see if it actually fits the way it does in my head. And then I can transfer it to the real fabric. I'm not even sure if I have enough of the real fabric, but I had a lot more of this spare color than I thought I did. So I might be able to get away with it. As long as I do all the outside this color, I'm going to have to line it in something else. But at least I could do the outside in this color and make a matching skirt. And I'm still trying to figure out, because when you make pleated skirts, you have the option with anime of changing the size of the pleats. Because, of course, all the schoolgirls, they all wear the same uniform. But none of the pleats are drawn the same size. So I'm trying to decide between big pleats, which are better for my body size, but it means that there's less fabric proportionally at the waist as to the hem. There's not as much of a gap between the two measurements. So your skirt, you basically get an A-line skirt. You get a very slim-fitting skirt. If you make the pleats smaller, then you can pack a lot more fabric into it so you have the same waist circumference, but you get a lot more at the hem. So it's almost more like a circle skirt that's been pleated, as opposed to just an A-line skirt, which is a little bit more tightly fitting. Tightly fitting does not suit me very well. So I'm trying to figure out if I have enough fabric to make the pleat smaller so that I can make it more circle skirt-ish. So fingers crossed, if not, a trip to Joann's broadcloth. And hopefully they have something that's really close to the dye lot. Because I bought this fabric like years. When I first made Umi her final armor form, way back in the day, that's when I bought this fabric.
It's old school.
It is old school, man. So that's pretty much what I'm doing since I'm not at Anime Fest this weekend. Unfortunately, I have to work. So there was really no sense in going to a con where I wasn't staying at the hotel. I have to work half the weekend, didn't budget for it. And honestly, there's nothing really to draw me to Anime Fest. I go to cons for panels, and there's not really much on the schedule that looked, you know, blow me over fantastic, that would involve me spending my money to go down there and pay for parking in downtown Dallas and all the other stuff. And of course, go and cosplay when it's 102 outside. Oh, and raining, might I add. So I will let everybody else at Anime Fest. I hope they have a fantastic time. I honestly do. I'm not really sorry I'm not there, because I'm having a nice relaxing time working on cosplay.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, so it's all good. And that's pretty much it for me in the world of cosplay, since I'm just now being able to get started on this stuff. I spent the week kind of cutting out things as I was watching and listening to the Olympics. More watching than I probably should have been, because I wasn't working on my patterns. But it's the Olympics. It only comes, you know, every 2 years.
It's the Olympics, and no Nightmare Bear this time. Instead, we had really creepy IKEA moving furniture and plants exploding and
insects. Don't forget the weird, creepy, crawly insects.
You know what?
Good job, guys.
For being low budget, I will have to give them credit for what they were able to come up with. And they did make a really great investment with their screen on the stage floor. That was a good investment. But creepy insects.
No complaints. I'm just waiting for closing ceremonies. It's going to be awesome.
I'm curious to see what they come up with.
Yep.
All right. So I guess my turn for cosplay updates. I have not a whole lot to talk about, unfortunately. There's the dress. It's Lolita-like. Enjoy. Get that one's done. The other thing is that yesterday I started doing my test embossing, which I've done before on velvet. Yes, that thing's made out of velvet. Yes, I know I'm psychotic. I cannot explain why. I just am. But for some reason, my embossing kind of jacked up on me, because you can see my stamp print actually molded onto my test fabric. I'm going to be rethinking how I'm doing this. This is probably going to be applique, so meh. The fun of cosplay, you make mistakes, it happens. Other than that, yeah, not a whole lot else to talk about. I will be at Anime Fest tomorrow, because I am a judge in their hallway cosplay contest, so that'll be a lot of fun. I've won a couple of their contests in the past, so it's kind of nice to go back and be able to judge this time around. I'll be there with Melfina Cosplay and Vorpal Props, who is our judge at Infinicon. So you know that's going to be a couple hours of just insanity. So I figured, instead of talking about my cosplay progress, because I don't have a whole lot to talk about, I want to talk about the silly fun costumes I have found on spirit.com. Because they have a ton of nerdy costumes out now, and it is epic.
Do explain, for those who don't know, what spirit.com is.
So spirit.com, or spirithalloween.com, I should give it the proper name, even though I should note, we are not affiliated with them. They're not paying me to talk about them or any of this stuff. I'm just a patron because I like Halloween. They are a Halloween mega store. And they usually have like pop-up locations that appear around the United States about 2 months prior to Halloween. But they do have a website that runs all year round. They sell various costumes for various events. You can even get stuff for St. Patrick's Day. But they have been spamming my email lately because, you know, Halloween's not that far away. We got 2.5 some odd months. They have nerdy costumes, guys. Oh my god, they have nerdy costumes. I need to show. Hang on. Share screen would help. There we go. They have Dragon Ball freaking Z costumes. What? It's a thing! Amber's laughing at me.
Please note the other icons at the bottom of the screen.
I know there's others. There's many, many others. Oop, let me flip on over. They have a huge slew of gaming costumes, including Batman Arkham Knight and Fallout 4. I realize Attack on Titan is listed in the gaming category. I'm fully aware that that's the wrong category. Let's ignore that.
It is a game.
There is a game. But let's talk about the fact they have Attack on Titan costumes. This is pretty legit, and they don't look half bad at all things considered.
Note that they're also now selling wig sets to go with them.
Mm-hmm. And even like little nerdy things, like they have socks. So even if you want to do like your own fun casual costume, you can do that too. And they have the same thing with Five Nights at Freddy's. They've got like pullovers and PJs, adult and kid costumes, or even just like the headpiece. Like, dudes. And even with Fallout, I'm just like, I'm blown away. I am blown away that our nerdy culture has been permeating so far that we're getting a bunch of Halloween costumes now. Like cosplay is becoming like a thing. It's so cool.
This is pretty easily explained by the fact that nerds have money and
We
nerds
do have
want to
money.
spend money on nerdy things.
We do has money. We has all the money. Like I'm just so flabbergasted. And of course, there is the
All
really
our
crappy,
customers.
all the crappy World of Warcraft costumes. Ugh. Ugh. This is the only thing that makes me sad. I know it's World of Warcraft, not World of Warcraft, Warcraft the movie. It's not World of Warcraft. My bad. It's the Warcraft movie costumes. They're not that great. There needs to be
The
more.
masks look decent.
The mask looks decent. The costumes themselves could use like more poofy shoulder armor and be like an aqua green and fuchsia. As one would expect from a Warcraft game. But
A
yeah,
little
it
bit of
just
paint can fix that.
just the notion, like even the props are not that bad looking.
And can be used as base for other props, should you wish.
Exactly. I'm just blown away. It makes my nerd heart so happy. And I know there will be some people who are going to try to rain on my parade and say, you know, they're just trying to appropriate our geek culture and try to profit off of it and blah, blah, blah. Dude, you don't understand. As a little kid, my options for costumes were princesses or like a witch. And I didn't want to be either. I wanted to be the stormtrooper, but they wouldn't let me be the stormtrooper because stormtrooper didn't exist at that time. Now that there are options for both genders of all these nerdy things, that's so freaking cool. So yeah, there's my cosplay update. I'm going to talk about Halloween costumes.
Please do bear in mind, for those of you who work at the office, please check with your office first before wearing some of these to the office. I know that shouldn't need to be said, but not everybody appreciates Halloween in the same way, especially HR.
I will probably not purchase any of the Mortal Kombat female costumes that they have listed on their
Yeah.
website.
So just please be mindful. That is all I will say.
However, the
And
adult Zelda costume is actually not that bad looking.
if you're going out to a party for Halloween, please drink responsibly. And also don't drink and drive.
Exactly. That it just makes my heart so happy.
Oh, speaking of other things, Joann's just sent out their latest circular, and
Yeah,
it
you
is,
just
of
got
course,
mine.
their all about fall sale. Now, when you get these circulars, take it with a grain of salt because a bunch of their Halloween and Christmas fabrics are on sale for 30% off. When you have fall sales, this is the time to get summer fabrics because they're trying to get rid of them. So what you want to do is you'll want to buy your summer fabrics, your summer apparel fabrics, not your fall and winter fabrics. Because, of course, those go on sale at the end of summer, which we're just about at the end of.
Supposedly.
Well, the retail season.
Right.
Not weather, just retail season. Yeah, we're at the end of the summer retail season. We're starting to get into the back to school fall retail season. So take a look at your local retailers for your spring and summer fabrics at this time of year to get them at big discount for your projects that you're going to be wearing next year, that you will probably end up start sewing on very soon.
Planning ahead is always good.
Yes. And also Hancock Fabrics is now officially closed.
Huzzah.
They are closed. They no more sales, nothing. Their doors are completely shut. They actually liquidated to Michaels. So watch out for your email because they just emailed everybody about buying your data.
I've seen a couple of people who've been posting questions like, so I have this gift card to Hancock Fabrics. What do I do? And I'm just like, dudes, no. No one's
going
to
do
accept
anything
it.
with it.
You're done. There is a form that you can fill out, and it's not listed on their website. You actually have to Google this. That you can take to bankruptcy court, and you can try to get some of your money back, but there's no guarantee. So,
and it's highly unlikely, because in a bankruptcy, they pay the creditors first, those who actually did the loans.
Exactly.
And unfortunately, that is not you. So in these sorts of things, usually the people at the bottom, the shareholders, get their money. The creditors get their money. Consumers are the last on the totem pole to get theirs.
Exactly. So good luck.
Yeah. But I did want to mention briefly at the end of cosplay updates, since we have had Infinicon since the last time that we chatted, I did want to say a huge thank you to Hawkward Cosplay, Destiny Aiden Cosplay, and Vorpal Props for being our judges. Sincerely, thank you guys for being there for us. We literally could not have done it without you. Thank you to Trent for helping us up on stage, for DJ Bentendo doing our emceeing for the contest, and of course, big thanks to the con staff and the contestants for showing up and helping us run a great show. We actually ended up going from 3 online contestants to 18 on-site contestants. We had more than the Friday contest. And they had some really good prizes on the Friday contest.
Yeah, they did.
So everything went off really smoothly. I didn't find anything that went terribly wrong. We ended up doing it very casually, kind of off script. And that seemed to suit everybody just fine.
Yeah, it was nice and comfy, and it was still a lot of fun.
And the winners were very deserving. Yeah, they chose good winners. And it
they
was an all-around family affair, because there were kids that entered too. And there were, in fact, family members that entered together. And that was really cool.
A lot of cross-playing this time. That was kind of cool. Gender bending. Really, really cool to see all that. People are so freaking creative. It boggles my mind every time.
And they did a really good job.
Yeah, they did.
So congrats to everybody. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And lastly, but definitely not least, I want to thank our sponsors. We have McCall's, we have Golden Ore, we have Thomas Software, and we have Amico American Art Clay Company. Thank you so much for the donations. The winners definitely appreciated them.
It was a lot of loot. A lot of loot.
Yes. And they got some very nice certificates for their Pipikura licenses as well. And we gave certificates to the judges' awards winners and the audience favorite. And the trophies went over well too.
Yay! Trophies. I'm a sucker for trophies.
Yes. Whether or not we will be back again next year, that is up in the air, to be honest. We haven't talked about it yet.
Yeah, that's a discussion for another time.
Yeah, and likewise for all cons, since they're sister cons. So you guys might be seeing us again next year. You might not. We will see.
Alrighty. We ready?
Yep.
That was definitely the I'm ready face.
I'm tired and hungry.
I understand. I'm very tired too. I've been having headaches all week long, courtesy of my new glasses. Thank you, Ice. Woo, you suck.
Don't say that too loudly. Vision is a really good thing to have.
It is a fabulous thing to have, and I don't understand why most health insurance companies don't cover eye care, given how necessary they are to function in society. Political statement over. Okay, so. Oh, goodness. All right, so our topic today is, and we felt this was really timely because, hey, we just got finished running the Infinicon cosplay contest, is how to run a cosplay contest. I have been perusing a bunch of forums just for lulls during my lunch break recently, and I've noticed a lot of people were asking questions about how contests are run, how they start up, how judges are picked, and all that. And it seemed appropriate that since Amber and I have done this a couple of times now, between the two of us over the past decade easily, we probably have been involved in every single aspect of a cosplay contest possible, except for emceeing. I think that's like the one thing neither of us have done yet. Is that correct, Amber?
Yes. You will never see me emcee if I can help it.
I will totally, I want to do it once, just once. That's all I want to do. It doesn't have to be fantastic. I can't even guarantee that I'll be good. I'll be marginally okay. But I like to try it just once. So even though I don't say that we are necessarily experts, I think we have a lot of knowledge and history and background that we can talk about this pretty comfortably and give people a better idea about, what it takes to actually put a contest together. And because it's a very, very daunting experience. My goodness.
Takes a lot of time.
It takes a lot of time, a lot of planning, and a lot of work. So much work.
So, shall we start this from the beginning?
Yeah, sure. Let's start from the beginning.
All right. So, when you put a contest together, the very first thing you have to decide before anything else is how you want your contest to be run. In other words, the format. What kind of contest do you want? Do you want a traditional catwalk? Do you want a sort of a dating scene? I mean, what do you want to accomplish in the running of this? It's basically like telling a short little story. And you have to figure out how you want to present your contest to the audience because you have to keep them occupied as well as presenting the contestants. So most of the time, people do run a traditional catwalk. I know this year that Infinicon on Friday ran an elimination bracket cosplay contest instead. So it's tournament style. So I've seen that before. I haven't really seen anything else to say, like maybe Survivor style or other different kind of concepts for cosplay contests. They're usually pretty traditionally catwalk.
Yeah, almost always it's going to be some type of catwalk. And I have seen Survivor style, I have seen Elimination Round style. And I have seen contests where it's not necessarily about the construction. It's all about you being in character. So they have you come up on the stage, the judges will ask you questions, and you answer them in character. So it's a lot of, bantering back and forth and acting. So there is that method too.
So once you've decided how you want the contest to be run, then you have to start getting down to the nitty-gritty.
All the rules, yay.
Yes.
The daunting, daunting rules.
What criteria under which you want to run this contest in whatever style you have chosen? That can actually be the hardest part.
It can cause a lot of headaches because there is no one governing body for cosplay contests. You could argue that there is the World Cosplay Summit and their point system, but that's not something that's required by every cosplay contest to follow. Everybody does something a little bit differently.
Not every con even runs it the same way every year.
Exactly. It usually sometimes changes from year to year. There's usually little switches to make it quote unquote better, or sometimes it doesn't work. So, yeah.
And you won't ever please everyone. Because when you do these sorts of things, you have to consider the fact that there are people who want to enter who did not make their costume. There are people who want to enter who completely made their costume, including the wig and shoes. And then there's every step in between that. And then, of course, that aside, with the contestants entering, you have to think about, well, there are contestants who are entering who have won multiple prizes at other cons with the same costume. There are contestants entering for whom this is their very first contest. They've never entered anything. And then there's all the steps in between. And you have to kind of slowly thread that needle so that you're getting the best compromise in the middle of letting as many people as possible compete fairly across a broad swath of genres. Because you also have to think, do you allow original characters for which there is no reference? Or do you limit it to canon characters for categories like video game? Do you allow characters that were also in an anime first that turned into a video game, or vice versa? Do you want to allow things like comics and manga? How do you define sci-fi? Do you put fantasy in with sci-fi? There's all these just little nuanced kind of things that you have to worry about. And you have to put aside that there will be unhappy people. That's guaranteed. Someone's going to not like one of the rules you've set, regardless. But you can always tune that in the future as best as you can, but sometimes you just kind of have to move on. And we purposefully changed a rule in Infinicon because at AllCon, we only allowed people who had made 50% or more of their costume to compete. At Infinicon, we loosened that rule. And it was partially based on the feedback that we got at AllCon because we wanted more people to compete. But we also made it so that those people were ineligible for best in category awards because we want to reward those who had good craftsmanship. So something to think about. You kind of have to decide what you're prioritizing in your contest and what you want to get out of it. What kind of contestants do you want to encourage to enter? If it's a craftsmanship contest, you're going to get contestants that have good craftsmanship. So rules are rules.
Yeah, another thing that you may want to do, and I know this is something when Amber and I have come up with rules for our AllCon contest and for Infinicon, is that we'll pass suggestions back and forth to each other, and we'll reread the rules multiple times, and then sometimes we'll get an outside opinion to make sure, do the rules make sense? You know, do you have any questions about anything? Do you think that that's going to be fair and broad for enough people to enter? So it's okay to get multiple opinions about the rules. Don't focus in on just you alone. Have other people look at your rules to make sure that they're fair before you post them publicly.
Because once you've posted them publicly, it's a bad idea generally to change them. And it's considered bad juju to change rules on the fly, because then it makes it look like you've rigged the contest.
Exactly.
So once you have your rule system and it has been made public, or at least it has been approved by the convention for which you are running the contest, then you have the fun part of figuring out the scoring system. How are you going to judge people based on these rules?
My God. this is it's stressful.
Well, this is the least standardized of any portion of the cosplay contest. This is where there is absolutely no standard.
There's
besides
none.
Maybe next to judges' qualifications.
Yeah.
But you can have any kind of scoring system you want. You can grade them from A to F. You can number it from 1 to 5, 1 to 10, 1 to 8. You can qualify them as bad, fair, good, excellent, perfect. You can give them a percentile-based system. You can do any number of things. But pretty much universally, it is a sliding scale of some sort that is graded from poor to better on one end of the scale. And you, what criteria you're going to apply to those contestants, things like performance, things like craftsmanship, things like quality of materials, things like accuracy, all these different criteria, you have to choose how many of them and which ones that you want your judges to effectively grade on. That's where you're going to also get the most drama.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
It's even more drama than the rules, because this is where fairness and favoritism come into play. And that will get addressed by judges' choices later on. But just do bear in mind that you want the end result of this to be whoever gets the best scores has been judged the winner of X at this contest, whether it's category, whether it's best in show, whatever. You want that judging to reflect accurately the opinion of the judge that this person has achieved the pinnacle of something. Okay. And depending on your scoring system, whether it's electronic or on paper, you're going to have to be able to grade those quick. In our case, we had a numbering system where it's 1 to 5. And for Infinicon, we only chose 3 categories or 3 criteria that we were judging the contestants on, which I believe was accuracy, performance, and craftsmanship.
Yep. For a maximum of 45 points per person.
It was 15 per judge.
Right.
So we had to add all of those papers up by hand. We're not going to make the judges do it. So that's why we only chose 3 categories and we only had a scale of 1 to 5, because that was so that we could manually add those papers very quickly during halftime.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a more complicated judging system, just keep that in mind. If you have electronic adding, that can help. But if you have to do it on paper, just keep that in the back of your head that you're going to have to be adding all this stuff up later.
This is, of course, assuming that you actually have a point system, because a number of conventions don't even have a point system. It's just a matter of the judges sitting there talking for an hour, 2 hours, which is almost always the case with anime conventions, and I wish they would stop doing this, where they would then discuss amongst themselves who they feel should be first, second, third, and so on. And it's interesting, in my experience doing that type of judging, almost always all of the judges seem to be cohesive when it comes to best in show and first, second, third. The nitty-gritty part and the part that takes the most amount of time is like best performance and the judges awards and like best prop. Those seem to take the most amount of time because those are never clear cut because there's so many people that fit those categories so well that it's like, oh crap, how do we decide? It's part of the reason why we also have the numbering system, because that just makes it very clear cut and decisive for us. It's like, okay, this person has the most amount of points for this category, they win this category.
And if there are ties, you have to figure out how you want to do a tiebreaker.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So you've got your format, you've got your rules, you've got your scoring system.
Woohoo! You're maybe about a third. That's very generous. I was going to say 1/18th of the way there.
Well, no, there are some things that I don't necessarily want to go into too much detail about, like choosing music. Because some of them are a little bit less relevant.
Yeah.
But once you have your scoring system, you need to decide if you want to do prejudging. Not all contests do. Some contests will only judge you on stage. Generally, those contests do not judge on craftsmanship, simply because it's not something you can really see from 20, 30 feet away from the stage. All you can see are kind of the generic outlines of the costume. So those are usually more performance-based. If you want to do craftsmanship judging, you're probably going to want to do prejudging for the judges. Now, that does change two things. It means your contestants are going to have to be in costume longer, and they're going to have to spend more time, in effect, at the contest, even though prejudging isn't really the contest itself. But it's more of a time commitment for the contestants, and it's also a time commitment for the judges. And it means that they also have to be able to have those judging forms in advance to be able to make notes for the correct people so that they can, you know, jot down scores, make notes, say, you know, I really like this about this person, this needs more work. Because some contests do turn over the judging forms to the contestants.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody does. That is totally up to you and the judges. Please check with your judges first before releasing their judging forms, because they may be writing things that they don't want released to the public. Work that out in advance.
Always a good idea.
So you're going to have to do a little bit of preparation if you're going to do prejudging, and make sure that you schedule that with the con for an adequate amount of time so that the judges have enough time to sit and talk with the contestants as needed, and so that the contestants know, I have to be here by X time. This means I need to eat in advance, I need to go to the bathroom in advance, I need to be in costume by this time, and down at the door.
And prejudging times can really vary too, because we've done it where our past two events, we've done it in under an hour, no problem. But then there are some conventions where they spend an entire day just focused on prejudging, and that's all they're doing. So time management is a big, big thing you got to factor in.
And those contests tend to have more people.
Mm-hmm.
Those that do the prejudging for a day, because we haven't ever had so many contestants that we can't get it done in an hour. But we're also a smaller con. Yeah. So make sure that you communicate all of these things to both the contestants and the judges and the con itself. Con staff need to know this sort of thing. All right. So you've been through prejudging. All right. You've got that. Who's going to do your prejudging?
You get to find people to judge. Woo!
You get to figure out who are your judges. This is probably the part with the second most drama.
God, yes.
Other than your rules and scoring systems. And this is because there are no standards for the qualifications of your judges in a cosplay contest. In a general sense,
mm-hmm.
Different conventions will do it different ways. Some conventions will ask current guests of honor to do it, whether or not they are cosplayers themselves. There are some contests that specifically have cosplayers who are doing the judging, who have been cosplaying for some time. Some contests will actually have people who are only there to judge the contest. They are not there for panels. They are not there to give talks or to sell prints. They're only there to judge the contest. So there's lots of different ways that you can do this and lots of different people that you can get to do this. If you have a big cosplay Rolodex, it helps. I am not one of those people, which means I have to stretch to find judges because I don't know as many cosplayers. And that's the thing, is that we believe, and I think I can speak for you on this account, that cosplayers should be judging cosplayers.
Yes, I'm 150% on board with this.
So if you're going to judge a cosplay contest, if you're going to judge other people's ship, then you need to at least be knowledgeable enough in that craftsmanship to be able to judge whether something is good or bad. You should be able to tell on site that something was well done or that something was poorly done, and here's how they can fix it. Now, that said, obviously, thing we know. And that's usually why you'll end up getting several different judges on your panel, each of whom have a particular specialty, so that as a panel, they can adequately judge the majority of cosplay in front of them as a whole. Yes, there are not very many judges who are fursuiters. Yes, there are not very many judges who do special effects prosthetics for a living. I know that there are some that are rare, and there are cosplayers that come in that have those things. In those cases, you can still judge general sewing technique, general makeup technique, presentation, performance, and all the other things. All you can do is get the best qualified judges that you can. And I say this very seriously. Don't take this as tongue-in-cheek or sarcasm from me. This is not meant to be a biting remark. Make sure that you check the background on your judges, that they actually are who they say they are, and that they have done what they say they've done, and that they have actually been to the conventions that they say they've been to as guests, if they claim that they have been guests. And that's simply so that your cosplayers have trust in the process, the contestants, that they have faith that they are being judged fairly, and that they are being judged by their peers who have sufficient knowledge to actually be judging them. Because the worst things that you can do for a contest is to have contestants walk away going, "I have better craftsmanship than this guy. What is he doing judging me? Why is he judging me when the quality of his work is clearly less than mine?" Granted, the judges may not be wearing their most elaborate costumes at the time when judges judge. They'll want to wear something comfortable because they're having to walk around. Don't take that as their maximum level of work. Generally, judges are chosen because they're good. They're good at something, and they're really good at something, good enough to be judging other people on it. And we want the cosplay process. So please do your checking first whenever you're choosing your judges. And we heavily, heavily encourage and recommend that your judges be cosplayers if you're judging a cosplay contest. And I mean cosplayers not once in a blue moon, but they've cosplayed fairly often, even if they haven't necessarily won Best in Show at several conventions. You don't have to judge a judge based on the awards that they've won. You judge it on the quality of their work and their portfolio.
And
So that's my
definitely,
spiel.
no, I'm with you 100% on all of that. And as you mentioned before, something that both of us really strive when it comes to all cons and for Infinicons contests is making sure we select judges that have a very diverse background. So we may have somebody who's really, really strong in armor and props as one of our judges, and then another person who's really strong in sewing, and then another person who's fabulous at like leather working and makeup and prosthetics. So that way we have a good group of people who can actually evaluate all different aspects of cosplay and not feel like we're shortchanging our contestants. So it's really, really important that you try to have a very diverse group of judges. You can have three people on your panel who are all sewers, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But just keep in mind that it does limit their ability in how they judge the contest.
Especially with craftsmanship.
Especially since so many cosplayers are now at that point where the costumes are getting so much bigger and bolder and grander, that it's not just about sewing, it's sewing and props and lights and sewing and crazy wig work and making your own shoes out of leather and cardboard and what else. It's this and this. So it's important to have judges that are able to actually review all of that evenly.
All right, so you've got your judges. You may have any number of judges. That's entirely dependent on the convention. Some will let you have three, some will have a panel of up to six. Some, like World Cosplay Summit, I think, has eight. So check with the con to see how many judges you are allowed to have and how many you need. Because again, you're going to be judging, you're going to be adding up their judging forms. So the more judges you have, the more forms you have to add up.
I had 10 judging me at Dragon Con. I was a little intimidated by that. It was like me and a panel, and they were all wrapped around the room. I was like, oh, this is scary. I don't like this.
Then you are literally judged by a panel.
Yeah, very literally.
All right. So once you have your judges, then comes one of the easier parts. It's limiting, and that's the prizes. And the reason I say it's limiting is because usually for cosplay contests, you're given a budget. You're given a certain amount of money you're allowed to spend. And as we all know, I'm sure, cosplay is not the most inexpensive thing in the world if you want quality components. So you end up doing a sort of creative dance with your money to get the maximum amount of prizes for your cosplayers with the budget you have. And then you usually also solicit around for donations. And that's actually the part that I hate the most. I hate asking for donations because I don't like asking for free stuff. Like, hey, we're Random Con ABC. Can you give us some random free stuff just because we asked?
To be fair.
Thankfully, there are quite a few companies who are more than happy to help you out in that regard.
Yeah, to be fair, usually there's a good trade-off involved. Like they'll give us stuff and then we can give them something in return, like advertising. Usually with us, we do advertising on our social media. We have advertising in the con book. Sometimes we have advertising during the show itself. We do advertisements on the podcast. So we find ways to thank those vendors who donate to us. And a lot of other conventions do very similar things too.
So you end up trying to figure out what could your contestants find useful? Because people aren't going to compete in a contest where they're like, oh, you mean you're only getting an iTunes gift card? I can't use that. I'm not an Apple user.
Woo! Hey, you know what? Gift card to a restaurant.
I wasn't going to go there.
Yeah, we went there. I went there. Too bad.
But basically, you still want to cater to your base, in other words. So you have to figure out what's going to entice people to compete in your contest and what's going to prove useful for them to be prizes in a general sort of sense. Because, and yes, there are going to be certain things you can't overcome. Like you don't know the gender of your contestants, so you can't specifically give them patterns. Like I can't hand out dress patterns because I don't know if the winner's going to be a guy or a girl and if they'll be able to use this. So you try and go very generic, applicable to everybody kind of prizes. Things like sewing machines, sergers are very popular. Gift certificates to various outlets like Joann's are very popular. And you also have to think about, do you want to give them actual awards like trophies, like medals, like medallions, that sort of thing, prize coins, tote bags. What sort of things do you want to award them and then have as bonus prizes? And if they want restaurant gift cards, then they can have restaurant gift cards. So you try and strike that balance as best as you can. And usually they end up being, a gathering of sewing items, a small smattering of prop making items, and then on rare occasion, they'll have a small smattering of makeup type items. If you have, say, a local Nord Costco or a theater shop. So you get all these items together, whatever you can manage to purchase, whatever you can get as donations, and then you assemble them all together and you get prizes like trophies and such. If they need to be engraved, you have to account for extra time for that to make engraved and that they get shipped to your place in time to hand them to the cosplayers. Because it would be very outré for them to get their prize and then say, oh, hey, we need your mailing address so we can mail you your trophy later.
Yeah, it's very uncouth, especially nowadays, to not already have the prizes ready and raring to go. it just makes you look like you didn't care, that you weren't prepared for it. You're best off just having everything ready and raring to go. Like, we don't have personal engravings on our trophies. We just do best in show and then the name of the convention and what year it is. We keep it very generic because we want to give them everything right then and there. So that way they don't have to wait for it. There's no extra shipping charges on our end. It's all done and we can call it quits at that point.
And a lot of cons are also doing cash prizes now, just to kind of cut through all the clutter so that you don't have to worry about the whole generic applicable to everybody. Cash is pretty applicable to everybody and they can spend it however they want.
I am so all about the cash.
there are cons who are kind of moving in that direction.
It's been happening a lot more recently too, I've noticed.
Yes. So you basically do the best you can with what you got. That's summary.
Hopefully you have a convention who is very understanding and wants to promote your cosplay contest and actually gives you a budget, because there are some conventions who are like, okay, we want you to do XYZ, but you have no budget. Go. And it's like, great. Help?
Yes.
Not so gravy. That's just a terrible position to be put in, because there is money involved. Even if you get all of your prizes donated to you, you don't have cash prizes or anything, you still have to think about the printing costs for your forms and the printing costs for any advertising that you do, because there is all that involved and time involved, and you do have to get pens and pencils for sign-up forms. I mean, there are things that do cost money that go into the contest that people are just not really aware of.
True, and you also have to think about things like, how many badges do I need?
Mm-hmm.
Because not every con will give you complimentary badges for, say, your judges and your stagehands. So you need to think about that as well. Do you need a budget to purchase additional badges for people? All these little things that go into the con that you never think about until you actually have to do it.
It's a lot of pre-planning.
You do also need stagehands.
Yes.
I'd say plural, preferably, unless you're a smaller con, to help people on and off the stage, to corral your contestants, make sure that they're all lined up where they need to be, to watch people's belongings if they're in a locked room, and just for general sorts of aid during the contest. And you need an MC, unless you're going to MC yourself. Somebody who can actually do the running of the contest on the stage.
Mm-hmm.
Generally, you will need music of some sort for the contestants to walk to. I have yet to have been to a contest where there was no music playing.
All con.
Was there?
Saturday. Their Saturday contest never has any music.
Okay.
But that's also because Neil does so much talking and he's so energetic through it that you don't really need music.
Yep. But generally there is walking music. So you've got your staff assembled more or less, and you've got your prizes and such. So now you need to start getting everything together, putting everything together in its package, getting all your prize packs assembled. You have to do all the legwork in advance. Make sure you've got your music together as backup. What are you going to do for a halftime show? While you have to score those papers, you are going to hemorrhage 50% of your audience or more if you do not have a halftime show or if you have a bad halftime show.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where it ends up being kind of depressing for the contestants, because you come back to do the prize award, the awards ceremony, and there's no audience left. There's no one there to clap because they all left because they got bored. So you have to have some sort of halftime entertainment, whether it's your MC doing something or you put video up on the screen or you have some sort of audience interaction, some something to keep them entertained. Some cons have been doing bubble wrap in the audience for better or worse.
Hee hee.
So you have to kind of assemble all that stuff and make sure you've got backup copies of it, because technology will fail. I guarantee you, your technology will fail at some point during the contest. And you have to consider in advance, what will I do if X happens?
Mm-hmm.
Because generally you end up having to do it on the fly. I know that at AllCon this past year, The projector went to sleep and I could not wake it up.
That was fun.
And that was right at the start of halftime when we were going to start hemorrhaging audience. And so I had to like troubleshoot on the fly and get it working. It took me less than 5 minutes, so we didn't lose very many people. But it happens. I mean, we had our sound go out right before Infinicon's contest. It was working.
Oh, yeah.
Literally 5 minutes before the contest, it was working. And then the projector went to sleep.
And then it was just like, nope, we're done. And we're like, really?
And that was it. So sometimes you just kind of have to go with it, but you also have to be prepared for it. What is my backup plan?
Always, always, always have a backup, and have a backup that's not technology oriented, because technology, as Amber says, will fail in some fashion or another.
Yes. So sometimes you have to fall back to a low-tech way of doing it, like bubble wrap.
Yay, bubble wrap! Bubble wrap is our savior.
So all in all, the entire preparation usually takes us 2 to 3 months. And that's more or less pretty average, considering we've got day jobs. And it's only the two of us, that we don't have additional staff helping out.
And it's not taking into consideration all the time that we put into promoting it, going on Facebook, going on to Reddit groups and trying to get people to sign up for the contest and creating the online sign-up form for people to sign up, and as well as the in-person sign-up form and then prepping our table. There's a lot more that goes into it for those 2 to 3 months, because it sounds pretty basic, but there is way more that goes into it.
And usually we also have to stay available in case of questions.
Yes.
From contestants. So as soon as it goes public, which is usually 1 to 2 months in advance on the convention's website, we immediately start getting email questions about entry. So we're having to monitor our email boxes for the convention too. So I'm glancing at our little questions thing on the right here to see if we've missed anything.
Gotcha.
The only thing we haven't answered yet is, what do you do regarding suggestions or if you don't agree with the winner's judges have chosen?
Gotcha. Yeah.
We do take suggestions. And in fact, we took suggestions for Infinicons before the contest started. Unfortunately, some of those suggestions came after the rules had been published, in which case I could not change them anyway, or at least I chose not to. But I definitely do take them seriously. I can't promise I can act on all of them, and usually if I can't, I will explain why. I know that this year it had been suggested that we only have people who had made 50% more or more of their costume again, just like we did for AllCon. And I explained that the reason that I didn't do it that way this time was to encourage participation, because not everybody can make their costumes at this point. And so for those who had, say, gathered their costume components from Goodwill, I still wanted to allow them to walk the stage, because I think that's still considered a fair costume. Granted, it's not available for craftsmanship points, but they should still be able to walk the stage. I have no problem with that. So, you know, we will still happily take them in. Just do bear in mind that we're trying to prioritize what we want in the contest, and we may not be able to change things to accommodate those suggestions. Don't take it personally if we ever respond back to you guys that way. It's not personal. This is just simply how we've decided to run the contest this year for this con.
And that's something to keep in mind too, is that when it comes to cosplay contests, every year the rules will sometimes change just a little bit. They're always working on making improvements, and no contest is 100% perfect. Every single one of them is imperfect in some form or another. That's just the nature of the game. And it's totally okay to make suggestions. There's nothing wrong with that. Just keep in mind that you should be very polite. Don't start off by saying, I think your contest sucks, because immediately people are going to tune you out and say, I don't care what else you have to say. You've already insulted me. I'm done. Be polite. Keep your criticism constructive. You know, it needs to be very valid points. Don't go bashing on the contest or the contestants or any of the judging team. Yeah. That's never a good way to start anything. And just remember that they can't go back in time and make changes. Because once the contest has done its business, it's run its course, you know, they can't go back and make changes to the judges' awards or to any of the awards given out. the suggestions that you make will definitely always be reviewed for the next contest or the one after that. So you may not see changes immediately. That doesn't necessarily mean that they're ignoring you. It means that they're taking it into consideration and they'll apply it to a future contest maybe. And that's okay.
If you don't agree with the winners judges have chosen.
Too bad, so sad. No.
I was going to say, there's not really a nicer way of saying that other than just simply to say you have to accept their choice even if you don't agree with it. Because those judges were chosen by that convention for that contest. They have been chosen to be the authority for this contest. And their decision is usually considered final. It's not something you can appeal. And most of the time they don't turn over the judging forms anyway, so there's nothing to dispute. In other words, it's entirely up to the judge's sole opinions, qualified or not. That is the way it goes when you're running costume contests.
Mm-hmm. And something to kind of keep in mind is that a lot of times for number of conventions, because the rules change from contest to contest, you know, XYZ costume may fit the rules for this contest, and that's why they were chosen. But if they try to enter it at another contest, it doesn't fit their qualifications. So it may be that for those judges in this contest, this costume is the one that they picked was the best because it fit that rules. If they take it to another contest, it may not fit those rules. So that's also something else to kind of keep in mind. The judges are working within the contest rules.
Now, that said, as a contestant, and there are like massive volumes of asterisks after what I'm about to say.
Massive air quotes.
No, not air quotes. There are asterisks. I will explain.
Put them all on screen.
You can politely approach the judge afterward if you would like constructive critique on your costume. Not anybody else's, not why did X win, not, you know, you're stupid for choosing them as a winner. No. This is why there are massive asterisks after this, because not every judge will even talk to you. Some judges prefer not discussing contests at all after the fact. So if the judge is willing and you are polite about it and civil, no flaming, you can ask them how you can improve your costume to do better at contests in the future. Don't phrase it as, what did I do wrong? Phrase it as, what can I do right?
What can I do to improve?
Because that's kind of the whole point of you asking. Mm-hmm. If you're just going to approach a judge to flame them on what they judged about your costume, don't bother.
You're not going to get a response. The judges will immediately shut down and be like, I'm not going to talk to you. Sorry.
Not to mention that you may potentially get banned from that contest in the future, and it's considered bad sportsmanship. It makes other cosplayers look bad.
Yep.
That judge may decide to stop judging. So please don't ruin it for the rest of us if you're going to do something like that. And that goes for both in person and online. Please do not stalk them online. Do not stalk your judges online. Don't sit there and PM them. Don't go track them down so you can go and leave a scathing comment on their Facebook.
I've had that happen to me.
It just makes you personally look bad. So look at it as a learning experience. If you don't like it, learn from it and move on. End of story.
And remember, I mean, it's just a cosplay contest. It's not life or death. We're all doing this to have fun and it's enjoyable. You're not going to win everything. Nobody wins everything. I can guarantee you, Yaya Han has been beat out at a number of contests in her life. You're not going to win them all. So just go up there, have fun, enjoy it, make new friends, and have a blast. It's a new fun experience.
And we know that everybody wants to be cost famous. We know everybody wants to win awards so that you can be guests of honor at other conventions. We get it. We've been there. I felt that way for a long time, that I just wanted to win awards so that I could finally be a guest of honor at a convention. It's not really about that. And you can still be a judge at a convention without having won multiple awards.
Mm-hmm.
As long as the quality of your cosplay and costuming is excellent, then you can still be a judge at a contest. Not a problem. Just don't take it as necessitating merit. Like that your cosplay has no merit unless you've won awards. It totally does. There are so many contests where there are cosplayers that are just neck and neck for awards, and you can only choose one. That doesn't mean the other cosplayer didn't have a completely phenomenal, amazing costume. It just means I only had enough awards to give one. So I had to choose between two amazing people. I don't want to go the whole Mary Sue, everyone's a winner kind of thing.
Right.
That's not what I'm getting at. Just don't take it too personally, because it's not against you personally. They're choosing winners, not losers. Scrolly, 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 scrolly.
Scroll, 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 scroll. I'm actually, excuse me, I'm actually looking at J Hart Design's portfolio because I adore the living crap out of him. He's so beautiful and perfect, and oh my God, I love his work. I don't know if he's ever entered contests. Like, I'm actually looking to see if he's actually won anything. I don't think he has. He is a phenomenal seamstress. Like, he is top notch, should be a fashion designer quality seamstress. It is beautiful what he does. He
works for one.
Oh, you know, there you go. He doesn't go out and win awards. And he's been a guest of honor at many conventions because he has phenomenal work. So it's not about winning a bunch of awards will get you guest entry. It's about the quality of work and who you are.
I don't think Vulpin's ever entered a contest because he doesn't do full cosplay generally. He does props. And yet, he's been hired by Riot Games to do professional work. He's been hired by Curse.com to do professional work. I don't think he's won a regular costume contest.
I know he's had pieces of his entered at the Dragon Con contest, but they've been worn by other people.
Exactly. Yeah, so you don't have to necessarily win yourself. Just use that time to learn what you can do better and then do better. Actually do it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not like there aren't 10,000 conventions looking for new guests of honor every day.
Then there's new ones that pop up every freaking week, it seems like.
Like InfiniCon! So. This was their first year.
There are new conventions everywhere! Oh my goodness.
And we do recommend, if at all possible, and I'm biting my tongue a little as I say this, please consider rotating your judge pool around. Don't have the same exact judges every single year for your contest. It gets stale. The cosplayers know it. The audience knows it. It seriously does get boring after a while. Change out who judges your contest, please.
It helps give new, fresh perspective, too, because if you use the same amount of judges and the same people every single year, they may not have expanded their skill base. They may just be in the same class of what they know, which that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But it doesn't give a new viewpoint, you know, for certain techniques or certain qualities and all that jazz. So it's good to have that new, fresh look.
And those judges have their own biases. They're people too. They're human. They have preferences. And they judge that way. That's how we are as people. You need new perspectives sometimes because you don't want the exact same perspective judging a new generation each time of contestants. So there's a massive pool of cosplayers to choose from, very qualified cosplayers to choose from. If you have trouble, ask other conventions or other cosplayers in their area, say, hey, if you could recommend somebody as a judge, who would you recommend? Cosplayers are usually more than happy to give you suggestions. And then all you have to do is just talk with those people, check them out, do your due diligence, and there you go. I mean, I know Texas alone has a very large pool of extraordinarily very talented cosplayers.
Yeah, we're very fortunate that we don't have to go very far to get very, very well-crafted people in our judging pool. It doesn't require a whole lot of effort, which is really convenient.
I mean, you can even look at things like AC Paradise. And take a look at local cosplayers in your area. Contact them and see if maybe they're available. Have a chat with them. See the quality of their work.
The internet is for so many wonderful things.
Yes. I think that pretty much covers the running of the cosplay contest.
Yeah, it's kind of a basic overview. It's one of those things where it's like we can give some details, but until you're like digging into it and you're knee deep in all this extra work that you realize, what did I get myself into? Oh my God, I'm gonna tear my hair out.
The other thing to think about just briefly is make sure that your contest is run efficiently. If you run overtime, the audience will not like you very much, and the contestants really won't like you very much, and the judges really, really won't like you very much.
Amber and I are efficient mofos.
And we've been to contests that were not efficiently run and, in fact, ran an hour long.
I've been at contests that have been 2 hours over time. That killed me.
Because then you start getting contestants that want to leave your contest.
Because
And
we've
audience members that leave.
yeah, because those are contestants who have been in those costumes usually for more than 10 hours, and they're tired. They want to go to the bathroom. They want to collapse. They're just
Want
done.
to eat.
They don't want to deal with the costume thing anymore.
Yeah, so do try and keep your contest running on time as much as humanly possible, knowing that sometimes stuff happens. And then you collapse at the end and you go, wee! So, oh God, we're done. And then you have to start thinking about next year.
That's the fun thing too. It's always enjoyable when Todd comes to us afterwards. He's like, "So, ready to do next year? Let's do next year. Let's come on, let's do next year." And I'm like, "Oh my God, no."
Wait, wait, don't ask me that right now. And
Like,
I felt so bad because he asked us that right after Infinicon's contest.
yes.
And I mumbled things that I probably shouldn't, but I also ended up finding out, like within an hour after that apparently I was really sick and didn't know that I was sick at the time. I ended up pretty literally collapsing in bed an hour after the contest with a low-grade fever, and I slept for 12 hours. And I was not feeling good.
I'm thinking it may have been stress induced because I noticed that nobody else got sick, so I think it was just you.
Well, I may have had it come.
Yeah.
And just my immune system just plummeted
Plummeted.
as right after the contest, or maybe even right before it. So yeah, it was not a good time. I managed to hold it together until the contest was over, and then I just lost it.
It was just like, damn, no, we're done. Because at that point, you just want to crash and be over it. You're like, I don't want to deal with anything cosplay related for the next month.
Plus, at that point, my energy level was so low because I hadn't eaten in several hours and I had been running around for several hours. And it's just like, I'm done. I just want to sleep. And I did. It took me 2 days to get better after being sick. I had to basically just sleep it off
Wow.
over 2 days. Yeah. Yeah. And rehydrate myself, apparently.
So, by the way, for those who want to run their own cosplay contest, it's very, very important if you're going to have prejudging sessions or if it's going to take more than like 2 hours to run your contest, consider having snacks available, have water available, make sure your judges eat, give them time to stop and eat because they're human beings, they need it too. And make sure that you eat and you stay hydrated and you stay healthy. It's important that everybody takes care of their body. Because it's a long, arduous process, and you get high and you run off on those fumes for a while. Because you're like, this is so exciting. I have so much to do. This is going to be great. And when you're in the moment of the contest, it's a lot of fun. That's the reason why Amber and I keep doing it and drive ourselves mad, is because the contest itself is a blast. We enjoy it every single freaking time, as stressful as it is. But in that moment, you're so focused on it that you forget about your own body. So make sure you take care of yourself.
You forget about pretty much everything else except running the contest
Yep.
smoothly. And as soon as you have accomplished that task, everything else that has been held up by sticks above you just collapses on
Oopsies.
you. And the real world comes crashing in a very literal sense. And then your body reminds you, oh, hey, oh, hey, you have these things to address.
I get a headache every single time we're done with our contest.
I mean, I did drink water there and I had eaten lunch, so it's not like I starved myself and,
Right.
dehydrated myself purposefully. It was just one of those things
It
that
happens.
happened. It happens.
It happens.
at least I was not patient zero.
No, you were not patient zero, thank goodness.
So it could have been worse. But yeah, so once we've had a little bit of time off, then we will start looking at
next year. I'm going to think about it post-PAX. I got enough to worry about. But yeah, that's the joy of running a cosplay contest. If you want to get into it for the first time, look into volunteering at conventions first. Get a feel for it. Get the layout of the backstage and how other conventions do it before you dive in and then suggest to a smaller con, you know, hey, I want to run your cosplay contest. But if you don't have experience in it, it's like literally a nightmare situation. So volunteer first. I strongly encourage you to volunteer.
And attend cosplay contests several times over so that you have a general idea of how they are run. Even if they do it in a slightly different format, they all pretty much have the same flow to them.
They all have the same beats. Yep.
So there's still core elements to just about everything that you kind of need to understand how it goes.
Mm-hmm.
And you can also talk with other cosplay contest coordinators.
Oh, yeah.
They may not share, obviously, convention secrets with you, but usually they're willing to talk general shop. And obviously, we're doing a tell-all on ours.
And ours is considered small potatoes by comparison. Though I've been told every time so far we have really cool prizes, so I guess we're doing something right.
They're not restaurant gift cards.
Yeah, buddy!
That's all I got. I'm done. I've been on my high this episode, and now my energy level is
like
you haven't eaten yet. It's 8 o'clock and you haven't eaten since noon.
Yeah, you might want to eat.
I'd love to.
I think this is a good time to call the episode close because we've done over an hour anyway, so we hit our marker.
Woo!
Yay!
Victory! Da, 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 da,
da, da, da. Because they did not hear the victory fanfare at the Distant Worlds concert at all.
Actually, when I watched the women's gymnastics in the all-around, I wanted so much for someone to do a floor routine to the Final Fantasy VII battle music.
That would be awesome. I keep hoping that one day somebody would do that. And I know I've heard figure skaters have done it to some Final Fantasy music in the past, but I have yet to hear it for gymnastics. The last Summer Olympics, one girl, I can't remember what country she was from. I think it was a European country. She did a routine to a James Bond song. I was like, oh yeah, that's perfect.
My guess is the UK.
Probably.
All right, we're going to call an end to this episode 122 of Cosplay, the podcast for all things cosplay. You can contact us on all of our social media, which we are everywhere.
All around here, and here, and here, and here, and here.
If you guys have any questions, comments, suggestions, compliments, constructive criticisms, or anything else you would like to offer us, you can contact us at podcast@cospod.org. We will see you guys next time in episode 123. Happy cosplaying, everybody.
Peace out, guys. Bye.